Lakshmi Kumar is the Dean of IFMR Graduate School of Business, which is a part of Kriya University in Sri City in Andhra Pradesh, around 60 kilometers from Chennai. Professor Kumar, who holds a PhD from IIT Madras, handles macroeconomics, managerial economics, international business and microfinance for management students at the B School. In this interview, Professor Kumar talks about the upside of being located in an industrial hub and how recruiters seek out its students because of the finance specialization it offers with business lines Vinay Kamath. The B School is also launching this coming academic year, a 5-year integrated BBA MBA program where the students have an option of opting out of the program at any stage as defined by the NEP. Thank you for tuning in. Over to you, Vinay.
Let me launch into my first question. What have been the pros and cons of having a B School here at Kriya, far from any urban center? I'm sure there are pros and cons to it.
If you look at historically speaking, we were located at the heart of Chennai in Kothari Road. And one of the biggest advantages there was we didn't have to entertain our students. And they found entertainment very naturally around. But it was very urban entertainment. We did worry a lot coming into the interior parts. And so we started saying, every week, we'll provide you a bus to go to the city. In the beginning, students love going to the city.
Right.
Shopping, malls, movies. But we found over a period of time that the number of students who wanted to go to the city actually kept dwindling a lot. And when asked, why is it that you're not going when we're providing you a free vehicle? They said, there's so much to do around here. So if you look at Sri City itself, the well-known place is the Pulikat Lake. There's a beautiful swimming pool there. There are lovely birds that come in, migratory birds. So to an extent, students love that. They love hiking. So there are a lot of hiking paths, things that we don't know, and bicycling. So they love going on their bicycles all over the place. They bring their own, they buy their own. They've also started going to villages around and finding new interesting places to see. So I think, in fact, in my entrepreneurship class this year, we decided to form a group who would understand the different locations to go to and get groups to sign in for a minimum cost. And the interest is overwhelming in that. So I think it just happened. We didn't do it, but it just happened that they are exploring the place and there's a lot to explore.
What about from a business aspect of it, in the sense, in the city, obviously, they would have an opportunity to interact with companies there and for internships and that kind of thing. Is that a kind of a flip side of being here, or is that, are there positives to that as well?
No, one of the biggest positives is we are in the heart of a vibrant industrial location. See, India has really missed out on the industrial revolution. We went on to the services. One of the things that's really present in Sri City is several companies producing all kinds of things. Act of production has not been seen by most of the students. Though about 40% of them are engineers, they're all computer science engineers. They've never seen a factory. They don't know these processes. And we systematically take them around. The Sri City board has been very helpful connecting us to the companies. And they go to these companies and they do small internships. So these are all live projects that they do.
Right.
They're not paid very much. But they're very happy to be working on projects which are actually happening. It could be finance, but mostly it's marketing or how to go about a marketing plan or understanding, for example, just in time. So the manufacturing process itself, which they see in class, in theory, they actually see it in practice. And that really makes them very happy. So in some sense, we prepare them for their internship. And after their internship, when they come back, they're really rounded and they understand what to expect in a company and what not to. So this has been a great advantage for us.
I know that since you're the, you probably don't expand the acronym, but it used to be Institute of Financial Management Research. Is finance still the big differentiator for the IFMR GSP, or are there, what would you say the big differentiators for your B School vis-a-vis other B Schools?
See, our legacy, we are not able to give up on. the fact that we are stuck with the acronym which has finance in it. We're not able to give up on it even if we try to. The market perceives us as a leading business school in finance. In fact, in 2014-15, when we came here, we said we're going to be a full-service business school and expanded all our departments. In fact, whether you take operations or marketing, all departments are full, or HR, for example. We have 6 faculty members in HR. But we find again and again when our students do come in, they say, you're very well known for finance. Our coaching institutions have said that you're good in finance, and we're coming here for finance. So every year when electives are floated for the second year, we find 80% of our students still opting for finance. Again, another thing is, if you look at the market, about 20 IIMs exist. So many of them have proliferated. IITs, many of them have a management department, all being government. If we need to compete in this market space, sometimes the legacy of finance helps, because they know that we will deliver when they come to study in finance. So if we rebrand as a full-service B-school, we are not sure what will be its impact. The second highest is marketing, because a lot of students are interested in marketing. Again, we find, you know, students, when they say, I want to do marketing, they don't want to do sales. And sales precedes marketing.
Right.
And they don't realize that. So when we get them sales jobs, they say, we want to do marketing. Like when we teach them strategy, they say, we want to do strategy. But we all know, as youngsters, nobody's going to take you seriously.
They all put feet on the ground. And...
absolutely. Manufacturing is picking up now, because there are a lot of roles where companies want people to have a dual specialization, finance and HR, manufacturing and HR,
right,
or marketing and finance. But I still find that the lean is, the companies still want some kind of good finance background. Or maybe the companies who come to us are like that.
But I guess finance precludes everything else, because if you're strong in finance, you can pick up other disciplines, I guess.
I wouldn't say that's necessarily right, because there are several strategies in marketing. And unless you do the cases in depth, you really don't understand the differences. Like, for example, when a product or service must be sold. And so they have the push and the pull phenomena. So you take big brands like Louis Vuitton. They say, we are selling feelings. We are not selling a product. So again, unless students, you know, actually feel the subject, they will not be effective on it.
So is your finance department better manned than the other disciplines, or you have more faculty? And
you see, our MBA curriculum is such that even in the first year, when we do core courses, we do more of finance than anything else. Initially, it was because that we were perceived as a finance school and make our students very strong in finance. But later we find, even when we pull back on finance subjects, that often the market, the recruiters say that your students lack the following skills. And we have deduced it's all to do with finance. So often the recruiters drive our curriculum when they tell us that your students must know these skills a little more in depth. Again, every few years, we have an external set of reviewers who come and benchmark our curriculum. Mm-hmm. So with all these inputs, we find that finance is stronger in the core subject.
What about the skills that industry is demanding of today, in the sense a lot of companies, especially the old economy company, are trying to get into the digital space, and they're asking students that they have those skills. So how have you kept a pace with teaching them these new age skills like social media marketing, digital marketing, data analytics, all that which industry is demanding today?
We have a data science department and a marketing department. So what we do is we encourage faculty to upskill. So that's the first thing we do. And they are encouraged to go and get trained. A couple of our faculty have got trained for almost a year in digital marketing, as well as in AI. We do get youngsters to teach the latest programming. So we have Python, R, there's open source, as well as now you can't get away with not coding. So everything which is needed in the market, either the faculty upskill and bring it to the class, or we get external faculty. So if you take B School itself, we have only about 35 faculty. We get people from the outside, from the market, where either they come from industry or they come with a skill which we don't have, which is modern. So that way we keep up with the times. And all our faculty are told every year to change their syllabus depending on today's needs. Not every year, maybe every 2 years.
Plus, do you have an industry interaction to help you with the syllabus?
Yes. So we have a board of studies, and the board of studies consists of 3 external members from the industry for us. So when the industry members come in, we present what we are doing and they give us detailed comments. So if it's economics, we ask an economist. If it's a finance, we ask 2 finance people, a marketing person. So they go through, they tell us what we must add, I mean, broadly speaking, and what we should not. Now, out of that, in fact, we are in touch with Hindustan Lever. So one of the things which we are planning to curate is courses run dually by our faculty and an industry expert. That way the student gets the best out of it, because there's no point in just doing theory. Management theory doesn't make sense unless you can translate it to practice itself. So what we're trying to do is we have 30-hour sessions, and a person from the marketing department, for example, and someone in Hindustan Lever will formulate a course which is rigorous oriented, as well as which gives them practical insight. And therefore, we are this year planning to introduce many courses in various specializations in this way. For example, in data science, we've got a person who's working in one of the 4 IT companies who's working with us to formulate a course on data analytics. So that's one. Hindustan Lever and us, we are formulating 2 courses in sales and distribution, services marketing. So those are 2 things I can remember. Manufacturing, we are in touch with Mondelez. They want to work with us. They also want us to train their workers, because we are now going to introduce an integrated MBA, which is BBA plus MBA.
Oh.
So this year we are introducing. So you could...
It's a 5-year program.
It's a 5-year program.
Like what IIM Indore has.
Exactly. Very, very similar lines. So you could leave after 3 years. And according to the NEP, you can leave after the 1st year, 2nd year, 3rd year, 4th year or 5th year. So we're going to go on those lines. And Mondelez is very much wanting that we help train their people.
So part-time?
Part-time. Okay. So we're still figuring out how to go about that. But the integrated MBA is launched.
Do you also offer executive MBAs?
So we were going to offer, and the pandemic hit us. And right now, we're planning to offer it in 2024. An MBA for people working here. Again, I've been talking to Sri City people, and they said we could help you do it. I mean, we had worked it out in 2018. We came up with a plan, this pandemic hit us. And so now we're going back again and reworking on that.
Right. So how did IFMR GSP fare on placements in the last season?
We had a batch of 180 students and maybe a little more, 1 or 2 more. And we have placed all but 2 of them. The highest went from companies like Nomura. Nomura was paying 20 lakhs as their package per annum. I would say this year's season went very well, because last year we hit an average of 11 lakhs. And this year, as of now, it's 13.5. So by all standards, I think the percentage increase is very high, given the layoffs, given the problems in economies. Though I know India is not all that bad. Students seem very happy and pleased. What we do typically is, when companies come, they get their jobs. And then in the month of January, we open it up to dream offers. And many of them have made it. They've got the confidence after being interviewed 2-3 times.
Well, don't the dream offers come first?
Sometimes it does. But sometimes what happens is companies go to the IIMs, and if they've not found enough number of people, then they come back to us. And this year, dream offers came from Deloitte, KPMG, all of them. So, of course, very few in January got in. Most of them got in earlier itself.
So you had a situation of 100% placements?
We are always near 100%. Sometimes one or two don't get placed every year. So I would never say 100%. Well, I'd say near 100%.
How many do you graduate per batch?
As of now, 180. Next year we plan to take in 240.
And a fully residential program?
Absolutely. Fully residential.
All right. So just one last question. I mean, there's been a lot of debate on the MBA, of course. Arvind Datta wrote that seminal book. And so what is your opinion? Does the MBA in its present form needs to be redefined, or, you know, in the pedagogy or the manner of delivery? Today, there are a lot of, you know, online options available. So is the traditional brick-and-mortar education the way forward, or is it going to be a mixed model? Or what is your opinion on that?
Well, I do think that a completely online MBA adds no value. The first and most important learning in an MBA is to build peers as friends. And from there, you build your career. The trust that you build when you are present is very different from the trust that you build when you're online. I don't think, in fact, most of us are very suspicious of the way things are done online. So I think the first and foremost, I mean, leave education itself, is how do you deal with people? And I think management and leadership is all about understanding people and taking them along. And unless you're in a classroom situation, I don't think you're going to learn that at all. So maybe hybrid might be an option, because people might want to work. And a lot of part-time MBAs have done well. I've known of lots of people who have done part-time MBA and done very, very well. Hybrid, I'm still not very convinced about teaching online, because MBA is not about teaching. MBA is about discussing, and there are so many solutions to every single management problem.
Right.
And so it's all about discussing, listening, assimilating, and also changing when needed. And I think that happens best when you're together in a class.
What about the curriculum itself? All the courses like operations, finance, marketing, all of them will remain evergreen with a layering of, say, the digital part and what industry needs today. The traditional course subjects will continue to remain in favor.
See, even between 2000 and today, at least 25% of the core subjects have gone.
Oh.
That's because we are continuously interacting with our placement people, so the companies. And the companies tell us that these things are irrelevant. For example, between 2000 and 2005, we were teaching our students financial accounting like the way a chartered accountant would learn. It's only after 4 or 5 years of placement we realized that we just need to teach them management accounting, and for them to understand what's the meaning of these ratios, or what is the meaning of leverage. When someone says there is leverage because of this, what do you mean by it? And when do you say that, you know, banks failed because of leverage? So it was, our curriculum completely changed, and you won't believe, our finance faculty were absolutely angry when we said we are not going to teach financial accounting, because that's what they need. So we had to redo the whole thing. We had to make them understand from an expert's perspective, because then they said, hey, you're selling your soul to industry. That's what professors, you know, very difficult managing this type of brain professors. So we told them, listen, your students come here in order to get placed, and we can't just teach them what we like. We need to teach them what's relevant. So we're facing a lot of resistance because people don't want to change. But we've been able to do it, and we do it systematically with the help of companies giving us feedback. So we take them very seriously. When they come in, they interview, they take students, they give feedback on the students, they give feedback on the system. So we take it, and then we redo our curriculum.
If you like what you heard, share the link and check out our website www.thehindubusiness9.com, and you'll hear more from us next time around.